And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I'm going to say that like a robot. So I'm here with my sister Mary. I'm Kevin. How you doing, Bear?
What's up, everybody?
And this week we are covering The Office Season 7, Episodes 25 and 26, Search Committee Parts 1 and 2.
Yes.
Now, before we jump into this two episodes, Bear, why don't you tell everybody what we talked about last week?
Sure, dude. So last week we discussed Inner Circle, which was D'Angelo's little circle of men, because he's a sexist son of a bitch. He kicks Jim out of the inner circle because he tries to stick up for the women in the office by saying, like, hey, they're feeling like you're a little sexist, but he fucks it up as usual.
Yeah, he does.
And then he tricks D'Angelo in, well, we see D'Angelo's motivational juggling routine, which cannot be forgotten.
That is pretty badass.
And then D'Angelo says that he can dunk like Jordan from the foul line, and he ends up getting a concussion. And then we see him again in the office. They call 911, and then we find out in the next episode, Dwight K. Schrute, acting manager, that he's in a coma.
Yeah.
So in this episode, Dwight is now the acting manager. He's loving life. After a week, everything's going great. He gets a congratulatory present from his Uncle Honk, and it's a holster, which he puts his gun into, and he accidentally shoots it off right next to Andy's ear, bursting his eardrum, which leads everybody to blackmail the fuck out of him while Joe Bennett's there, and he can't stand it anymore, so he decides to come clean to Joe. Joe takes the job off of him, and she forms the search committee, which is Toby, Jim, and Gabe, and that's where we are right now. Oh, and Creed is the acting manager now because he has the most seniority.
And that brings us to the cold open this week, Bear.
It does. So we see Creed, he beaches his new company car in the parking lot.
Is that
a
Porsche, right?
Something like that.
I think it's a Porsche.
The license plate just says new manager. He throws the keys to the non-existent valet. And then Creed is like, do I love my job? Well, I love my kids. He has kids. I love real estate.
Well, he tried to hook up his daughter with Jim's daughter.
Yeah. But like, he thought he was gay.
He has pictures on the wall in his office. And like, one of them is a mugshot, I think. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
I think
catch
one of
that.
Them is a mugshot.
Oh my God. So now, then he tries to make Jordan find a translation for made up language that he just made up. We're in a conference room meeting and he's talking about team building. And he's like, all right, on this side, Phyllis, Jim, blah, like Meredith,
Elroy,
and Ted. And then we find out that we see Jim walk by and only Meredith and Kevin are in the conference room. He repeats Phyllis for the second team. And then Jim's like, he never called a conference room meeting. So then we see him out in the office, and he's got a whiteboard, and the word Bobody.
Yes.
And that's what he keeps saying, Bobody, Bobody. And Pam's like, what are we doing?
They're making
acronyms.
Yeah.
So what does the B stand for? And he says, business. But he spells it B-I-Z-N-U-S.
Business.
And Pan's like, we need a new manager. And that's our cold open.
That's good stuff.
Fucking fantastic. I love seeing that little bit of Creed, giving him that spotlight.
Yeah.
So now we see applicants coming in, and Creed is playing guitar in his office.
With, like, hippies.
Yeah. The first applicant, it's played by Will Arnett.
Yep.
And he's,
hey, what's going
hey,
on?
Hey, everybody. I hey. Can't do it. It hurts my throat. I'm going to start coughing if I do it.
You're going to eat some fucking Reese's? The man. I love Will Arnett.
And he's discussing his three-step plan to double their profits, but he won't share it with them.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how do we know you're not making it up just to get the job? And he's like, oh, it's real.
It's
Don't
real.
You worry.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'll give you step two or three of the plan. And so he's like, color code everything. TM.
Yeah, he trademarked it.
And they're like, did you just trademark it? He's like, that's a verbal agreement right now. We're in it. So now we find out that there's a few internal applicants. Daryl is going to be interviewing. Stanley and Phyllis are like just like proud of him. It's so cute.
Prouder, they sucking up to him early.
I think Stanley's proud of him. Because they're just like, oh,
I got
nice.
The suck-up vibes because everybody worry. In this office is out for themselves.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. But he said that he feels confident. Like, you know, everybody there knows his work. He's really close friends with Jim.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked in the warehouse forever. And he's black.
He drops that.
Yeah, he sings that, actually. And so then we find out Andy is interviewing, but he's downplaying how much he really wants it. And we see him and Aaron talk. Like, he's hanging like a... a vote for Andy poster. He's like also it's high school.
He's wearing a pin like the penguin running
Andy
for mayor.
For manager with a question mark after it.
Like Cobblepot for mayor.
And Andy, And Aaron's like, I think you'd be a great manager. And you just see fear strike Phyllis's face in the background. And then we find out that, well, Aaron's like, oh, did you hear anything?
This is a weird thing.
This is really fucking weird. And I feel like it added zero to this entire episode. Well,
yeah, this one, yeah.
But, so we found out a couple weeks ago when Michael was saying goodbye to everybody, Phyllis thought he knew about the babies she gave up in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently her and Aaron are getting tested to see if Aaron is her
Phyllis
daughter.
Might be her mom.
Yeah, because in the general time that Phyllis gave up her baby, Aaron was born.
Yeah, but it was around the time of Porky's.
Porky's babies.
She might be a Porky's baby.
My God. So now we see Dwight at his desk. He's in sweatpants.
He looks like the dude.
Yeah, he's shoving chips into his mouth. His hair is unkempt. Yo. He's not shaved.
The beard. Yeah. It only grows on one side.
I know.
It's fucking
it's
gross.
Fucking Oz.
He is. He's like a brother. He has the worst facial hair.
He really does.
It's like all patchy.
He's like shoving potato chips in his mouth. He's got like the classifieds of the paper. He's circling jobs and Pam's like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah.
Are you really going to work at Scranton Bread Factory?
Bread is the paper of the food industry. You write your sandwich on them.
So awesome.
Ridiculous. So now our second interviewee is there. And it's fucking Warren Buffett.
Yeah, it just does a cameo.
Which is amazing. And so he asks about the salary. He tries to negotiate mileage. And then he tries to ask if the long distance phone calls are recorded or if it's on the honor system. And they're all just kind of like, what?
This old guy's got some game.
Yeah. So now Angela is at her desk and she just gets off the phone call. She's super excited. The senator asked her to have lunch at the Botanical Gardens of Scranton?
They don't exist, right?
I mean, I looked it up, like, Botanical Gardens. There's an arbory. Is that the word for
arbory?
It?
Arbory? I guess that's like flowers and shit.
Yeah, at Marywood, but I don't think that there's, like, a restaurant.
Marywood is, like, a university.
Oh, yeah, it's a local university.
Yeah.
But I don't think that there's a restaurant there?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, so now the third interviewee. Played by James Spader.
James Spader. I've never seen anything with James Spader except for a clip from The Soup because he does that show, The Blacklist.
Yes.
And he's like fucking insane. And he is like a very, like when you look at him just as a person.
Yeah.
He's very uncomfortable. Very, you get like a disconcerted feeling.
Yeah, you get that he's a supervillain.
Like he's not really acting. He's really kind of like off, you know? Like that's the feeling I get.
He's a real life Buffalo Bill.
He's got those frog eyes that are like far apart. Oh. I don't know. Fucking weird looking guy.
He's a very confident interviewee. Yeah. Like he's like leaned back in the chair.
He's not even wearing a dress shirt.
No, he's wearing a polo with a sports coat over it. And he's like just rambling. He's like, there is no such thing as a product. There is only sex.
It's a universal truth.
Yeah. And Gabe is like, I'm afraid you might be overqualified.
He's so intense.
And he's just like, do I look like somebody who would waste my own time? In that James Spader voice.
Yeah. And it's almost like he's like mesmerizing them. Like,
like
they're under a spell. Because even Jim is just saying like, yes.
Okay. Well, and like, that's, Jim can, like, barely look at him or speak to him when he's trying to answer the questions, and James Spader just stares at the camera, and he walks out, and everybody's just
when he
watching
just,
him.
Because the three of them are looking at him, he just turns and stares at the camera for, like, 5 seconds. It's so bizarre.
And, like, he leaves, and everybody in the office is just, like, watching him, like, what? And he just stares at the camera again and smiles. Mm-hmm. So now Jim is like, all right, I'm definitely creeped out, but I think he's a genius. Like, what the hell is happening? So now then there's Daryl. He's the fourth interviewee. And he's like bullshitting with them about drinking milk.
Mammal milk.
Yeah, like you've never seen a bear drink raccoon milk. And so he's like, all right, guys, I think we're a good fit. And they're like, we didn't start the interview yet, dude. That's really funny.
He just wanted to smooze them.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, no, I knew that. So then they ask how he would resolve interpersonal issues. And he's like, well, that's your job, isn't it, Toby? You would think that it was HR's job. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I mean, that's one of my strengths, but it's not necessarily my job.
It's really
job.
Not a strength for Toby.
No.
If the show's taught us anything.
Right? And so now he's nervous. Like, Daryl's, like, nervous because they're asking, like, legitimate questions now. And then his nerves are shot because he sees another black guy walk in the office.
For an
he's
interview.
Like, who's that? Who's that? And they're like, all right, I think we're good
here. Yeah, they're not even, like, acknowledging it.
No, we're like, and they go, we just need you to write a resume. And he goes, a resume? I thought you guys knew me. And they're like, yeah, just formality.
Just like this. You know, yeah. It shows them,
and
like.
And Daryl's, like, holds the paper there for a second. He's like, just like that? And he's, like, trying to memorize what it looks like. So now we're down in the coffee, the caffeine
Dwight's
corner.
Cafe, yeah.
Yeah. And Dwight is sitting down there still, reading the paper. James Spader's standing at the fucking countertop. And Ray Romano walks in.
Ray Romano's so awesome. I love Ray. How are you doing?
Yeah, he's like, oh, what's the vibe like up there? And James is like, yo, man, it's horrible. These people hate their lives. It's depressing. It's the worst company I've ever seen in my life. So now Ray Romano's like, well, I don't know if I want this job now, man. I don't know.
I take this job 25 years, I'm going to die here.
Yeah.
That's a horrible Ray Romano. It is. I got more nasal.
Yeah. It's a difficult one to do, man.
It's hardcore.
So now Ray Romano goes up the elevator, and Dwight calls out James Spader, and he's like, how dare you judge a place just off one interview? And James Spader and I wish I had the character's name, but James Spader just stares at Dwight. And he's like, stop trying to figure me out. Already done. It's not worth my time. It's already been there. I've already figured you out. Like, and he just won't even give Dwight. Dwight's getting so pissed. Mm-hmm. Like, James Spader's just under his skin.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Ray Romano is interviewing. And he asks if they pay for relocation. And they're like, yeah, but you live here. And he goes, yeah, but I want to move further away. I don't want any possibility of me running into my coworkers. And, like, they're like, oh, why did you leave your last job? As he's answering, he pulls out his briefcase with a lunch sandwich in it. And he starts eating, and he goes, oh, everybody that worked there is jerk-offs or jerk-wads. So between the wads. Yeah, the wads and the offs. I just couldn't do it anymore. And they're like, is this a bad time? And Toby's like, I'm really sorry. We did something to upset you. It wasn't intentional. And then Ray Romano's like, fuck. Yeah, that guy in the lobby totally fucked me up. These are the nicest people I've ever met.
He totally sabotaged himself.
He's like, I mean, I had another job that I was supposed to start today.
Yeah.
So now Angela returns from her lunch with the senator, and she's engaged.
She's a ring.
And they want the story, and she's like, oh, he got down on one knee, and he said, will you be a senator's wife? And Pam's like, he asked you in the third person? And she's like, yeah, we're not just the casual dude like you and Jim.
Oh, hey, you want to marry me again?
Dude. But, so Oscar is just like, she's engaged to a gay man.
Yeah,
like, that's all he says.
I fucking love it.
So now,
well, he goes, For Angela, I'm horrified.
Oh yeah.
As her coworker, horrified. As a fan of elegant weddings, kind of excited.
So now the sixth interview, it's Andy's turn, and I love Phyllis is like, is this really a good idea? I don't want you to get your hopes up. And so every answer that he gives, and he did actually answer the question intelligently. Yeah. Because they were like, oh, what would you improve? And he goes, I would streamline communication.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabe, like, just attacks him.
Gabe gets aggressive.
You know, he's like, oh, what are you saying? Toby can't do his job well? Because that's part of Toby's job. And Jim and Toby are like, we didn't take it that way. Yeah. Like, what the hell? But every single answer, Gabe, like, turns it and tries to make it look like it's a bad response.
And he goes, how many windows are in New York City?
Yeah. It's a critical thinking question commonly asked in interviews. You failed. How far is the sun? And Andy knows it. It's like 93 million. Yeah, that one. And so then Andy's like, oh, well, if we're
talking like,
about
the facts,
sun.
All the facts about the sun.
And so Gabe just goes, shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun!
Punches the table. It's awesome.
Now we see Andy out in his car, and he's just like, that didn't go as well as I thought it would. I really wish it would have gone better. He's like banging on the steering wheel and shit. So then we see Daryl in his office trying to write his resume, and he's on the phone with what I can only assume is the help desk, asking where Clippy.
Yeah.
Now, for you guys from, I think, the 90s,
would remember. No, that was around longer.
Was it?
Yeah, because
in the early 2000s?
I took typing class in high school. Typing class. Oh, no, actually, that was like 2001. Yeah, never mind. I take that
90s,
back.
Early 2000s, Microsoft Word had what was called Clippy. It was a little paper clip that would come and ask you if you needed assistance with anything. And Daryl was trying to find Clippy.
To help him with his resume. Yes. It reminds me of that Dimitri Martin joke where he's like, you know, if you're writing a ransom note and the paperclip comes up and he goes, it looks like you're writing a ransom note. Can you use some help? You might want to use more aggressive language to get what you want. This is fucking hilarious.
So now we see, we hear Creed calling one of the biggest clients, and he's telling them that they're going out of business, mm-hmm. belly up. And so Pam's like, how is this on me?
Mm-hmm.
So
she goes she's the only one who knows, like, yeah. sees it, yeah.
She goes in, and she gives him a picture of buildings, like two pictures of a building. She goes, corporate needs you to find the difference between these two pictures. They said there's at least seven. And Creed goes, I already see one, gimme. And she goes, they're the same picture.
Famous meme.
Yeah, they're the same picture. So now, seventh interview is Kelly Kapoor. And Kelly Rajnaganda Kapoor. And she's explaining how she's been the manager of her own department for years now. And they're like, isn't your department just you? And she goes, yes, but I'm very difficult to manage. Which is just amazing. And Gabe is like, listen, we have actual qualified candidates.
He's so dismissive.
Oh, my God. Shit's poor all over. Kelly gets shit on for the last four episodes of this season.
Hilarious.
And she's like, so you're saying I'm not a serious candidate, Gabe?
He just goes, well, come on.
He's like, we have multiple serious candidates and a video chat from London. Mm. Come on, guys.
And, yeah, Jim and Toby are just like, no, let's go with it. Like, they know not to cross her.
Yeah. And then, I forget what question they ask. And
he asks her, what are your weaknesses?
Oh, yeah. I don't have any, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, she calls him an asshole.
And then Dwight comes in, slams his resume on the table, and demands an interview.
Mm.
So we see Jim and Dwight walking outside, and Dwight's making horrible small talk. And he's like, how's the family? Jim's like, oh, good. And he goes, and what's your daughter's name again?
Pee-pee?
And he goes, oh, Pipa or Peepa. Something like that. Pipa. And Jim's like, listen, man, you're not getting an interview. And this is because of your own actions. Mm-hmm. You know it and I know it. So Dwight tries to bribe Jim, saying, like, you'll roll in at 10 a.m. You'll pick up your free coffee from Dwight's Caffeine Corner. Unlimited sex breaks with Pam. And Aaron will eat garbage for your entertainment. And Jim's like, as much as I love a bribe, no. But the Aaron eating garbage for entertainment, it's like, she's like a court jester.
I was going to say, like, Salacious Crumb or something.
So now Oscar and Pam are in the break room, and Oscar's like, listen, the senator's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't believe him. She's like, well, he was married before and has a son. And she's like, and don't say that thing about gay guys always having kids. And he's like, no, I know he is. Now, this is like a busybody thing that she's about to say.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, did you see him at the bathhouse? And he goes, first of all, what bathhouse?
Who uses that phrase anymore?
But she's like, the windowless building by Baskin-Robbins. And he goes, what? And she's just like, damn it, I'm never going to know what goes on in there. And can I tell you, there's a building in our town by the mall.
Oh,
that Jesus. Has always been windowless since we were little kids. Yeah. And I've always wanted to know what happens in there. And I still, to this day, do not know what goes on in there.
I can
but
tell
there's
you what
always
it used
cars.
To be. I can tell you what it used to be.
What?
It used to be a firing range for, like, really? Bows and arrows and guns and shit.
Yeah. I don't know what it is now.
I don't know what it is now, but it's
it doesn't
very
quench
ominous.
My thirst because I want to know what the fuck is going on in there.
Very ominous.
So then we see them back at Kelly's desk. I'm assuming because it's more private back there.
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar says he's calling a friend at the Scranton Blade because they have an inside track on it.
Gay magazine, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then Ryan comes up, and as he's taking money out of Kelly's wallet,
yeah.
says, you guys talking about Senator? And they're like, no, why would we? And he goes, because he's gay. And then he just walks away. And they're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a talking head of Ryan. He goes, you want to know how I know he's gay? He liked my Facebook photos at 3 a.m.
I can just imagine the senator with, like, a glass of wine.
I know, right?
Like, just going through social media.
Oh, yes, Ryan. He is the hottest in the office.
He got that Dundee.
Yeah. So now we see the video interview. And it's the gentleman that Michael Scott met a few weeks ago at the elevator.
It's Ricky,
David Brent.
Is he as David Brent?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he says his name is David Brent. It's Ricky Gervais.
Yep.
And they're all just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, just like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm British, blah, 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 British, blah, blah, blah.
You looking for a man to come in and do this? Not a guy. looking for a leader of men, as you say. That's me. Like, but they're all just like, what the fuck? Like, we thought we had a serious candidate from London for a regional job. Regional manager, but okay. So now, Phyllis is giving Aaron really fucking weird advice. Yeah. I really don't even want to talk about this.
Bestiality.
Oh my god.
The word bestiality is
It
used.
Actually happened.
Yeah.
Phyllis, it
didn't happen.
No, but Phyllis
role
says
playing,
that it did.
Role playing.
Her and Bob Vance. She to get Bob's attention, she sat in his office naked with nothing but cat ears. And then after 2 weeks, he came in naked, dressed as a dog.
With like a dog nose, yeah.
Yeah, and then bestiality happened. Like, what the I don't even want to...
Yeah,
I
but she
don't even know what she, that... The point of
well,
that scene.
At the end, she just tells her, she goes, whatever you want, if you want someone, just go get them, yeah.
If I was talking to my daughter, I would say, go get them.
Can you imagine that conversation? Bestiality.
Oh my god! The fuck?
It's so dark.
So now, Daryl hands Jim the resume, and Jim's like, oh, thanks, man. He doesn't even, like, look
he
at it.
He just throws it to the side.
And he asks how the guy after him did, and Jim's like, oh, Howard, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, not that one. And he goes, oh, Deshaun Williams. And Jim's like, oh, well, he's great. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He made an app that makes apps. He's a great kisser. And Daryl's like, man, I'm serious. And Jim's like, listen, like, the interview's not as important for you because we all know you and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He tries to, like, comfort him.
Yeah.
But so now we're in the eighth interview, and it's a redheaded British woman.
Yes.
She's basically only saying buzzwords and key phrases, and she's saying what she wants them, like she thinks they
deconstructing
hear.
The office, the
open,
time masseuse.
Yeah, that was just fucking weird. And then, like, when she sees that they're not responding to what she's saying, she goes the opposite way and says, like, it's basically going to be the Hunger Games up in this bitch. And then they try to end the interview, but she just won't let them. Like, she just keeps on rambling until the camera
It is very it's a very rambling segment.
Yeah. So then everybody... So, like, Jim walks in the kitchen and everybody's trying to get answers from him. Like, is there a front runner? What are you thinking? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Like, he plays off like, oh, we'll just pick a name from a hat. And Stanley,
doing his Jim thing.
Yeah, and Stanley's like, oh, no, you don't. I worked for the last boss for 15 years. According to my doctor, I don't have 15 years if I expect to keep up the same dietary and sexual lifestyle, which I intend to. And then I love Ryan. This made me laugh so fucking hard. Oh, no, Stanley, you'll live forever.
Yeah, like, just, it's so, like, so fucking
it's
great.
So half-hearted, it like, is. No, you'll live forever.
You're not gonna die.
Yeah. And then everybody gets, like, pissy about his, like, about Jim's attitude, and Ryan's like, I don't know, man, maybe you should try not doing the Jim shtick and care about something for a change. I don't know, James. And that's how we end
that's
it.
That's the end, yeah. I gave it a 3.5.
I gave it a 4.2.
Ooh, okay.
I loved bringing in the heavy hitters as the interviewees.
I like the segments in the interview.
Yeah.
The Creed stuff was good. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, the Phyllis-Aaron thing was weird.
I took off. The Phyllis-Aaron stuff was just fucking... I didn't see a point of it in this episode.
The Dwight thing just seems like we need to do something with Dwight. Like, I would have preferred to just see the whole episode of him acting like the dude. Just, like, hanging out in a bathrobe, putting his feet up, not caring, growing the facial hair. But, like, overall, like, I don't even know why Jim was such a dick about it at the end. But overall, it was just good. Like, it never slapped me across the face. It was great.
Oh, really? I enjoyed it. Like I said, the only thing, the point eight that got taken off was literally for Aaron and Phyllis.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't think the bestiality thing was funny? I thought that was funny. I think it's just a dead-end storyline. I think it's a dead-end storyline.
I didn't see the point of it in this episode. I feel like this was just filler in this episode. Like, oh, we have to give Aaron and Phyllis something to do, I guess.
I'm just happy there's a lot less Andy here.
Yes.
Although, like, even his interview was hilarious because it was one of the times you see Gabe get on him.
Yeah.
So that was entertaining.
Yeah,
but, like,
overall, no, I enjoyed it.
I don't have much else to say about it. James Spader, Force of Nature. I will say that much.
Dude. Amazing.
Yeah, he was great in this. But other than that, you know, what are you going to do?
No, I liked Ray Romano.
Ray Romano is so underrated. I still watch Everybody Loves Raymond every once in a while. It's still a solid show,
It's still funny.
It is. It's really good. And Will Arnett, hey, what's going on, everybody? Yeah, I just want to talk. You know, I divorced Amy Poehler. People would say I won that because she's really not that funny.
Oh, my God.
She's not. Just saying.
I'm on Arrested Development, too.
When we were in Blades of Glory, I carried it. It's all I'm going to say. I don't think Amy Poehler's funny, people. I'm sorry.
So, anyway, dude,
I'm
why D'Angelo don't you put,
Vickers. Yeah. Just say it.
Why don't you put us over?
All right. Hey, guys. You can find us on any podcasting app. So, subscribe today to the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. You're already listening to us. Just do what you're doing. Subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
We can also find us on the Jenny Position podcast feed each and every Monday morning. And throughout, you know, the rest of the week, you'll find other good stuff, such as the actual Jenny Position show, Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, Journey Through Infinity, and so much more.
So much more, guys.
You'll thank me later. You can get in touch with us at Twitter, at Brosis Podcast, or if you want to send us a longer form feedback, whether it's a question, comment, concern, suggestion, you can hit us up at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to get in touch with you, or read your feedback live on air and give you, we'll talk about it together into a microphone.
Woo!
But, is that about it?
I think that about does it, guys.
All
follow
right.
us on Twitter. We always post our favorite screen grabs. Lots of them again.
We're follow back whores. We'll follow you back. We post
Share
stupid stuff.
Share us with your friends. Retweet us.
I've been doing a thing lately where I've been posting birthdays. Have you seen that?
No.
Because, like, Phyllis had a birthday.
Oh, Michael Scott.
And yesterday, well, this is going to tell you when we recorded it. Glenn Gulia from The Wedding Singer. 57 years old for your old Glenn Gulia.
Julia Gulia.
Yeah.
Her name's going to be Julia Gulia.
That is a great rom-com.
That is.
You know, I was just talking to somebody about that the other day, too. The Wedding Singer.
Dude, the PTBN fucking songs and movies.
Oh, okay. So I'm not on Facebook, so I haven't been partaking in the polls there.
Oh, okay.
How's that going?
Well, Facebook did an update or something, so the polls got taken down for, like, every page ever.
The fuck?
Yeah. But they're working trying to get them back. But Somebody Kill Me from The Wedding Singer was one of them.
Awesome.
I was like, fuck yes, I want to vote for this 700 times.
It's worth it just for John Lovitz at the end. Like,
he's losing his mind, and I'm reaping all the benefits.
He has a sock in his crotch. So, all right, everybody, that brings us up to the
episode 26,
season 7 closer.
Part 2!
And let's talk about it. So there's no cold open, because as we talked about, this is one episode that was split into two parts by Netflix.
Yes.
Jo arrives with her dogs, and she sees Daryl's resume on Jim's desk, and it's 4 pages long. And Daryl comes out, and she's like, this is Daryl Philbin, the one who worked here for 10 years and had, like,
two jobs?
Yeah, 2 jobs in 10 years. He's like, hello, Joe. It's been a pleasure since the last time we interfaced.
Yeah.
He's trying to use, like, all these words.
And she's like, move 2.5 billion units of product.
And Daryl's just like, pieces of paper. So Dwight goes in. He just wants another interview. He gets shot down by Joe, but he wants to throw his hat back in the ring.
Yep.
In the break room, everyone is debating whether or not to tell Angela that her senator boyfriend is gay. Or fiance, actually, I should say.
Yep.
Kevin says, maybe I can get a lesbian. Everyone basically agrees to leave it alone because she seems happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they prefer her than the bitchy Angela.
I would definitely prefer that.
Kelly goes into Joe in the conference room to talk with, and she kicks Gabe out. And
she's like, it's not about you, I promise.
Yeah, and then she tells her all about Gabe.
Yo, she's a shady bitch in this episode.
How he went after Andy, and he was dating the receptionist and all, you know, the whole thing with Gabe, and how he's a stalker boyfriend now and all the shit. And as this is going on, Dwight starts texting his resume line by line to Joe, who's like freaks out because it's costing her 10 cents a text.
I'm roaming!
That's so awesome. Creed tells Jordan to get the biggest client on the line. Pam tells her to put him through to her, and he's talking to Pam thinking she's the client, and he's starting his own paper company. He wants to poach her before things crash there. Aaron introduces a burn victim to Joe and the committee.
Oh my God.
Mr. Jacques Souvenier. Right? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, of course, knows it. This guy comes in like a mummy with sunglasses on because he's a burn victim. And Jim immediately knows it's Dwight.
Yep.
And he starts saying, like, oh, here's your resume. It looks like you were assistant to the regional manager. And Dwight, as the, like, with all the bandages on his face,
burn
like,
victim.
Assistant manager. And he's like, assistant to the regional manager.
Assistant manager.
Jim's still finding a way to, like, fuck with him.
Yep.
And Joe is hip to it. She knows it's Dwight. And she's like, get Dwight Schrute in here. I have a question to ask him. If he doesn't get in here, I'm going to fire him.
Yeah.
And then, like, Dwight takes off the bandages. Like, it's me. And,
I love Joe, though. Like, what would have happened if I hired this Jacques Souvenir?
Yeah. And what's he say? He's like,
I would have dressed like this every single day, learned French sign language, and been the best damn manager this branch has ever seen. She just goes, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, she just drops the F-ball. That's fucking crazy. She goes, get out of here. She kicks him out. So they're going over resumes now, and they talk about Finger Lakes guy, who said the finger, talked about the Finger Lakes every 2 minutes. And they go get to Andy's, because Joe's like, oh, this guy went to Cornell. He seems like a good egg. And Gabe goes off. Like, oh, well, you know, like, this guy's an idiot. Like, you know, just, like, ripping
him. Incompetent sales ability, yeah, zero.
She knows who it is. And Joe calls him out and says he got involved in these people's lives. Yeah. You know, he wasn't supposed to do that.
Let's get you back down to Florida,
She's sending him back down to Florida. And Kelly is going to take his spot because he's tall and weak and she's short and strong. It's an opposite thing. So Joe and Jim walk out. And she tells him to give Dwight an interview because she likes crazy. And she also drops that she knows Nellie, who I'm assuming is the British lady who interviewed in the last episode. Yeah. But she says, like, you don't have to hire her or anything like that.
As long as there's a good fit. I don't want any more turnover.
Aaron now pops up as a sock puppet at the desk and says that a witch named Angela changed her into a puppet. And Kevin is having this, like, back and forth with the puppet. Hey, puppet! And, like, when she drops about Angela, he's like, sick burn, puppet! And he does a talking head where he starts, like, it'd be nice if the puppet talked more about the alphabet. He's, oh like, God. Talking about the puppet as, like, it should be more like Sesame Street.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, talk about letters like F, L-M-N-O. He says L-M-N-O as one letter. Oh, it's fucking great. But then she says, the only thing that can change your back is a date with Andy Bernard. And Andy goes up and turns her down nicely.
Burn.
It's harsh, but, like, he does it nicely.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, say it across the office or anything
and
like
he does
that.
A talking head where he says he just didn't have that feeling when she asked him.
Yeah.
And she chose Gabe over me, so, like, I'm not going to apologize for getting over her.
And, you know,
he's right.
Reasoning is sound.
It's very sound. Yeah. He's right.
I was like, I don't blame his reasoning, though.
Oh, no, not at all.
He makes sense.
It's been, like, two fucking seasons, though, of this. Like, I'm getting tired.
And you thought Jim and Pam was dragged on.
It was. This is, but this is, like, two idiots. It's so bad. So Angela is talking about the wedding invites, like, all douchey around everybody.
I don't know if we can invite you, Stanley.
The regular people, like, because they have Congress, you know, whatever. And she makes a dig at Pam about her wedding. And Oscar looks at her like, oh, you're going to tell her he's gay? You're going to tell her?
Well, she's like, oh, do you have the plans for your dream wedding since you did your ironic wedding? And Pam's like, that was our dream wedding. She goes, Niagara Falls, pregnant.
Pork medallions.
With pork medallions. That was your dream. And, like, she's super bitchy. Yeah. So I don't blame if Pam was like, your boyfriend's gay.
No, but she was the bigger person.
Yep, she was.
So Dwight gets an interview now, and Jim shuts it down immediately. Like, Mr. Snooten just shuts the book. And Dwight interviews himself like a psychopath in front of them.
Yeah.
And he leaves, and Kelly is impressed. And she quotes Dwight from the last episode, the hand around your throat, the hand on the wheel or whatever. And Jim is like, you took his deal? Like, what is wrong with you? And then
of course I did.
And then it turns out Toby did as well. And Jim's just like, what the fuck, everybody? So Phyllis barges into Jim and says that Kelly and Dwight pre-fired her. And Jim says, like, everyone, that no decision has been made. It won't be Dwight. Like, he goes out and talks to everyone.
Yeah.
And everybody, like, has something to say. So he's like, you know, just tell me your opinion, what you want, or whatever.
Yeah.
And Kevin takes the floor and doesn't really say anything.
Oh,
he's just
God.
Happy that everyone's focused on him. And Oscar wants Daryl.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Dwight's like, of course, you minority, stick together. He's like, oh, Kelly wants to be with you.
Yeah. Is that all you see me as, is as a minority?
And then Andy's like, well, how about, like, somebody, like, lame or non-threatening, like, poaching himself? Ryan wants an outsider, like somebody on the margins of society, like a
homeless
person.
Man.
And then him and Pam get into a
Again,
whole thing where she's
really
like,
a homeless man.
I want you to say out loud that you want a homeless person to be the manager. And then he does a talking head where he says he needs guidance, but, like, don't boss me around. Like, he just doesn't know. Like,
lead me when I'm in the mood to be led.
Yeah, he's a lunatic. So Meredith wants a genuine man in his mid-40s, well accomplished, well hung.
Yeah.
And then Andy goes, would a small to moderate penis work?
God.
Gabe is leaving for Florida, and Kelly hugs him on his way out, and just immediately recoils and goes, ew!
He's like, oh my God.
It's so great. And he's just like, people love to hug me, and he just, like, takes off. I kind of was wishing for, like, an IT guy send-off with Gabe, but we didn't get it. So Andy really wants the job. He stands up and tells everybody, and he says, I won't make any changes. Everything will just be like it is. And Aaron and Phyllis support him. Well, Aaron does, and Phyllis backs her up. And then Phyllis does a talking head, and she says, Aaron's not my daughter, but I'm not going to tell her today because her heart's been broken.
Yeah.
So Angela speaks like a politician, basically. Like, there are two sides of this debate. Yeah. And Oscar's
just like, no.
No, Toby. He's like, we told Kevin he can't talk if he doesn't have anything to say. Rules apply to you. And that's when Daryl's daughter runs in and hugs Jim.
Oh, my God.
And she's just like, oh, Daddy, is this the guy who's going to make you the manager?
And Jim's just staring at Daryl like, yeah. What the fuck?
And Daryl comes in and he just does it. Oh, you know, single dad problem. Like, playing out. But then Jim looks at him and he's just like, this is a bad idea. He's like, grabs him. Let's come on, Jada. It's fucking great. My God. Then Jim's just like, this whole thing got away from us. We're not voting on this. Phyllis is like, oh, let's vote.
Yeah.
And Jim, Toby, and Kelly go in. They're going to make their decision. So we get talking heads now from Andy, who says he might fail upwards. Nellie, the British lady, says she'll get it because she's Joe's friend, even though Joe's not her best friend.
Yeah, she's Joe's best
friend. Daryl, who talks about his blueberry muffin superstition,
God.
How he eats one every morning, but this morning he didn't. It's going to cost
him. Should he eat the muffin?
Will Arnett says he is totally, totally confident I'm going to get the job of, and he turns around because he's in the lobby. He goes, Vance Refrigeration. That's awesome. Ray Romano is just like wigging out. He's like, I sabotaged myself. I did it. I was going to start a new job today and I did this. I'm freaking out. Spader is just like, I'll get the job and they'll call. And there'll be that pregnant pause as they wait for my decision. Like, he's so like, he's like pontificating.
He's amazing at dialogue. So
Jim Carrey shows up in a brown like tam hat, a brown overcoat. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm supposed to be in the Finger Lakes. I drove down today. He's Finger Lakes
I told
guy.
My family that I was going on a hike, and I no. snuck down here to do the interview. No,
I better get back up there, because people get lost in the Finger Lakes. Like, it's only like 10 seconds, but that's fucking great.
Amazing.
And then Dwight is the final one. He says, yes, it always works out.
Yeah.
And the show finally ends here, the end of this season, with Creed and Pam. He's calling. This is the fifth customer of the day he's called.
Jordana.
Yeah, he doesn't know her name. Hook me up with another client. And like Pam, because she's like, hello, how are you doing?
Hey there. She's like doing her vaudeville voice. Shit. Hey there. Hello, how are you doing?
And Creed's like, I think you should meet my other client. He's like, Jordana, patch the other one through. And she's like, hi, how are you? Well, I'm doing great. And, like, she's doing, like, the two voices. Everybody's looking at her like she's nuts.
It's kismet.
Yeah, and Creed's like, oh, my God, it's a love connection. And that's the end episode. So, what'd you give it, Bear?
I gave it a 4.3.
I gave it a 3.8.
I said it was fan-fucking-tastic. I love Joe, where she comes in and sprinkles that sass
Gabe,
all
is Gabe
over.
Gone for good? You've seen the show. Is he gone
I
for good?
I have seen the show. I'm not telling you.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ.
I love the cameos, again, of yeah. all the interviews.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
And I thought it was a good season ender.
Well, yeah, because it's the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And it's not the usual bullshit cliffhanger of Jim and Pam. Are they going to have a baby? Are they going to get married? Are they going to...
The baby was not a cliffhanger.
Yes, it was. Season 5, when they're at the hospital. Remember the company picnic? And
yeah.
He took her to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, we find out she's pregnant.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
that's
like,
the cliffhanger. Because
yeah, oh,
they're like, oh, my God, either she's really hurt and they're hugging, or she's having a baby. Like, it's right. one of two things. But overall, I liked it. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I their worst instincts of the writers on the show, I'm like, they're going to drag this Phyllis Aaron thing out for a half a season. I was like, I was ready for it. I'm glad it's over, though.
Thank God.
I'm glad they're not going there. But the Dwight stuff was good. Jacques. Souvenir.
Yeah.
We got more Spader, which is awesome. Will Arnett. I don't know. It was just fun.
They brought in some good comedic like cameos.
Yeah, and
I really enjoyed it. Jim Carrey was a surprise.
Like I said before, I'm glad that we had that open air. Everybody gets involved in the conversation scene. Those are the best.
Yeah.
Because they're quick fire and it's like really snappy writing. I love those segments. They're the best. And we got another one of those. Like overall, this is a good episode.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk right now about our Season 7 autopsy.
Yes. All right, guys.
Yeah,
Season 7. I almost said Season 4.
Here we are.
I'm almost, like, flabbergasted that we're already at the end of Season 7.
We're getting there. We're getting
there. Going through this wrap-up, like, I can't believe that nepotism was in the same fucking season.
Yeah.
Like,
going over some of these episodes when we were doing the scores here, and I was just like, China. I don't remember China being in this season. Yeah. I don't know why, but like it just doesn't stick as like a season 7 episode. Yep. But Mary has our scores here tabulated for what we gave each episode this season and our how we finished scoring the season.
What our average was. Yeah. So. And let me tell you, Kev, we were like on point with our scores this season. So, starting off, episode 1, Nepotism. Remember Evan Peters was
his name on the show? Luke.
Luke, his Michael Scott's nephew. Yeah. So we both rated that a 4.3.
Nice.
Counseling.
Great.
Such a strong episode.
Great episode.
I was raised by wolves. Is it a full moon tonight?
More Toby in this season than before, too, yeah. Which is awesome.
We both rated that a 4.7. Andy's Play, I rated it 3.8. Kevin gave it a 4.0. Sex Ed, I said 4.0. You said 4.3. Came back. Amazing.
Yep.
The Sting, where we met Danny Cordray in the Penis Museum. 3.9 from me and a 3.5 from Kevin. Costume Contest, 3.5 from me, 3.2 from you.
We kind of hit a mid-season lull here.
Yeah, no, we definitely did. So, like, we were just talking about it. We were looking over our scores. The second half of the season was so strong. Like, it started out super strong, ended very, very strong. Christening. Kevin did not...
Hated
like
that
episode.
I still fucking hate that episode.
He gave it a 2.7. I enjoyed it at a 3.5.
That's a bottom 5 all-time episode of the show, of what we've seen.
Wow.
Like, that's up there with, like, Chair Model and Survivor Man.
Oh, we can go lower.
That's real bad, man. Oh, what? Oh, God, I know what's coming now. God.
The Viewing Party, where they watched Glee. I gave it 3.4. You gave it a 3.0. Woof.com. 3.8 from me, 3.7 from Kevin. China. 3.7 from me, 3.8 from Kevin. Classy Christmas Party Part 1, 4.0 from me, 4.5 from Kev.
Yeah.
Part 2, 4.8 from me, 4.3 from Kevin. Ultimatum, 4.0 for myself and 4.4 for Kevin. The Seminar, 3.9 from Mare Bear, 4.1 from Kevin. The Search, 3.4 for me and 3.8 for Kevin.
That was the one when Michael was lost in Scranton.
Yeah, and Holly had to find him.
And he couldn't, like, get a ride.
Yeah.
At all.
He's an invalid, apparently.
Yeah, like, honestly, they treated him like like such an idiot in that episode.
And then PDA, 3.4 from me, 3.5 from Kevin.
That was an upsetting episode.
Yeah, it was an uncomfortable episode.
Steve Carell's asexual. Like, he doesn't have sexual
He's
organs.
A Ken doll.
Yeah, like, honestly. I don't want to think of him as, like, sexual being.
And then there's Threat Level Midnight, which we both gave a perfect 5.0. Yeah.
That is a great piece of television.
Amazing. And then we move into Todd Packer. So this is really where we start to pick up the steam again.
Yeah.
Todd Packer, 4.6 for myself. Kevin gave it a perfect 5.
I thought it deserved it because there was, like, a moral to the story. And Todd Packer's
My daughter's kind of a bitch.
Well, yeah. And, like, Packer's just, like, so beyond the pale. Like, it's just awesome.
Garage Sale is a 4.6. And from me and a 4.5 from Kevin. That was them proposing.
Yeah, the proposal.
Michael proposing. Training Day, where we met D'Angelo, if you guys remember, just a few weeks ago, was not one of my favorites. And that was my 2.8. Kevin gave it a 4.2.
2.8 just seems so harsh for that one. You should have reserved that for christening. Like, fuck that episode.
Michael's Last Dundies, I gave it a 5.0. Kevin gave it a 4.7. Goodbye, Michael. I again gave it a perfect 5. Kevin gave it a 4.6. The Inner Circle, 3.8 and 4.1. Dwight K. Schrute, acting manager, 4.5 from me, 4.4 from Kevin. And you guys remember our scores from this week, 4.2 from me for part 1, 3.5 from Kevin. Part 2, I gave it a 4.3. Kevin gave it a 3.8.
So what are our cumulative averages?
Our cumulative average is a 4.1 from both of us.
That's strong.
Which
That's
is
strong.
Crazy.
That is very strong.
It was like literally, so we round up, guys. So it was like a 4.07 for me and a 4.06 for Kevin.
Which I still can't believe you outscored me on this one. I thought for sure my 2.5s would raise my average.
But I gave it 3.5s.
Did you?
Wait, what were the 3? Midnight. Michael's Last Dundies and Goodbye, Michael.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you gave the Dundies a 5.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So this season, so I think we've said enough about Michael Scott in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, we've pretty much covered everything there is. Like, that character, I think, reached...
He reached its peak.
Yeah. Well, not its peak, but it was starting to...
It was on the decline.
It was going to...
The
like,
end.
I can't even imagine what, like, him and Holly being married would have been like.
No,
like,
it would have been insufferable.
I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. No, I think that they... I know that the plan wasn't, like, for Steve Carell to leave. They just didn't, like, fight him when he said he was.
Yeah.
But I think that for this character,
there's a shelf
it was
life.
A good timing.
Yeah, there's a shelf life. Yeah. It has an expiration date. And I think, like, the thing is, like, you leave him wanting more. And after mm-hmm. this season, with how great it was, like, that was perfect.
We want more.
It's the perfect leave, man. Like, it's great yeah. shit. It's like if Married with Children went off the air in, like, 94. Instead, like, it was on until, like,
instead
97.
Instead of replacing the neighbor's husband.
Well, that was, like, after season three. Fucking Jefferson Darcy. Actually, I like Jefferson. I'm a Jefferson Darcy guy. Steve Rhodes is cool, but Jefferson's cool, too. But, like, Michael Scott reached the end of the line. Like, yeah. he was at his peak, just cut it. As for everything else, now, about the show. There were times where I think we both commented that the writing on this show got hacky.
Yeah.
Especially when it came
some cheap jokes.
There was
the
stuff
end.
That Michael said and stuff like Aaron, especially when the baby, it's like a babysitter's club. Like, what the fuck? Who wrote that shit? And I'm not even talking about her as a character. I'm just talking about the lines of dialogue that
no,
were fed
I
to
know.
These characters. There was some hacky shit in this.
Well,
in
that's
this
just
season.
It. I think Aaron was so insufferable for me, like in the beginning, especially.
She was worse in season
because
six.
Because I was just like, well, and that's just at the beginning of the season carried over from season six.
Yeah.
That I literally could, I feel so bad for the poor girl who has to like actually play her because I ripped her to shreds. But she was really just playing awful lines. That's all it was.
The thing that bothers me most is that, you know, we talk about the cliffhanger here is about the manager.
Yeah, who's going to be the next
I feel like,
manager.
I also feel like, because Andy showed doubt as well, that they're also going to hedge their bets. It's going to be season three of fucking Andy and Aaron going, talking, and flirting around and being dumbasses together.
Which
and like that is like the major down point of this, was the Gabe-Andy-Aaron triangle.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, like, isolated, each one has like hilarious moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like together,
shut up about the sun.
Yeah, together, it's poison.
Yeah,
it's just like
it's kryptonite.
It's Michael Scott heat.
Yeah,
I'm just not a fan. But I think what I like a lot, and you're gonna hate me, but I think I have a point, is the de-emphasis of Jim and Pam as a couple, and more as people in the workplace.
No, I can agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I think because now. Like, their storyline is they're a married couple with a kid. Like, there's not much going on in their lives outside of the
having
office.
Having sex in a box. but that, I think that's a fun storyline because
yeah.
it shows them as, like, they're still a spark. Like, it's not like,
yeah,
oh, we're married, drudgery.
No,
like,
but what I mean is, like, there's no chase. Like,
no,
they've
no,
gotten
no,
each other. They're,
yeah,
they're
that's
the
why
married
I'm happy
couple.
Where it's
they're
at.
Stable.
Yeah.
So now they're going to still be, like, prominent, but they are now, like, more part of the ensemble.
And that's why throwing, like, that sex storyline in was good.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, something that a couple like that would face. Like, oh, you guys think we're just, like, friends? Like,
yeah.
like we're roommates now? Like,
yeah.
no, we still have passion. Like,
exactly.
That's fine. I think that's perfect.
Like, Jim being drunk and he's, like, in the shower.
Well, and I think I mentioned it either this week or last week about, like, the Dwight building owner thing.
Yeah. Because
that started off super strong.
Yeah, it did.
Like, even through Hay Place and all that shit. Like, there's a lot of stuff. And Nate was starting to become one of my favorite characters.
Nate's amazing.
And the second half of the season, he disappeared.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. Does he come back? Just say yes
we
or no.
We will find
oh,
out.
Oh, fuck, don't do that. But, like, there were certain, like, points. Because, like you said, nepotism seems like it was eons away.
Yeah.
And the way we recorded this season was probably the most compressed out of all of them that we've done on the show.
Yeah.
And, like, it shouldn't feel that way.
No.
But, like, it
but
feels
it
like
it
that
feels
was
like
eons ago.
It feels like we haven't talked about that in, like, 3 months.
No, like, nepotism and Andy's play and China and, like, all these episodes. Because, like, I feel like once Holly came back, like, the Christmas episode.
Yeah, that took
it became
over
a
everything.
Different season.
Yeah.
It, like, yeah.
It definitely
that,
shifted.
That definitely took over everything. And because, like, every episode after that, what are they? You got Classy Christmas.
Ultimatum.
Ultimatum is about her and AJ. The Seminar is her and Michael as a couple. I mean,
the
focus
search.
On Andy, but The Search is all Holly and Michael.
PDA.
All Holly and Michael.
Threat Level Midnight.
Michael's movie, but Holly's reaction to it.
Todd Packer.
All about Michael's love for his friend or his lover.
Garage Sale.
All about the proposal and
yeah.
then her dad
and
having
then
Alzheimer's.
She's gone.
Yeah, so like that whole part of the season is all Michael Holly.
Yeah.
So it becomes like a different show.
Yeah.
But I mean, that doesn't take away from the fact that this season probably started out better, like
oh, God,
more sustained. Because
yeah.
like we've had season openers that were killer,
yeah.
but like this was more like first four or five episodes were
yeah.
sustained really
they were
good,
super strong
up until about the. I'd
and
say
I mean,
the
we're
Halloween.
Talking about the lull, which guys they're still getting mid 3 point like.
Yeah.
3.5.
Except for christening.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, they're still good episodes. Yeah. They're just not bangers.
I do want to comment on the christening episode, though, because I should probably... No, because I think it ties into what I had to say about Michael Scott previously. Remember, like, when we argued about, like, Michael Scott being a cringe character.
Yeah.
That episode was pretty... Like, when he gets on the bus with the kids...
Yeah, no, that is a cringe episode.
That's a cringe episode, and it's just, like, stupid.
Yeah.
Because, like, that episode had, like, no point. Like, it was trying to make a point about religion, and then it was trying to make a point about being happy, and then it was making a point about being spontaneous, and then everybody's an asshole to Chip and Pam. Yeah. Like, it was very scattershot. It didn't have a focus, and, like, that was my main problem with the episode, was that... Everybody was like took on their season 6 forms.
Yeah.
Where they were just like, I'm going to complain about everything. I shouldn't even be here, but fuck you. Like, everybody was like fucking horrible. And yeah. Then Michael like acts out like a dick. And then Andy does the same thing because he's an asshole. It, like, that episode was like, ugh. So, like, don't think I'm just like crapping on Jim and Pam. Yeah. It's not the Jim and Pam aspect of that episode. It's everything around it.
Yeah.
Is garbage. Jim and Pam are actually kind of funny in that episode. Yeah. But what else? Anything else? Any other episodes you want to talk about? Any characters? Man. Any storylines?
I really enjoyed it. I'm excited for season 8. At least the beginning of it.
Well, this is something else we should
mention. I haven't watched season 8 in a while, guys.
I've never seen season 8, guys. We should talk about this, though. Is that this? We're going into uncharted territory without Michael Scott.
Yes.
Okay. Now you know you've seen it. You're not familiar, but
Let's put it this way: it's been like 3 months since I've watched.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Okay, so
it's been a little while for me.
Does it lose something? But also, okay, it's obviously going to lose something.
No, I'm going to let you decide. I'm not going to
shift anything
over season 8.
It can lose something while gaining something as well. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, it's just going downhill. Because it could lose Michael, but also gain in other things.
I think the new character that they bring in, you're going to enjoy.
Do any of the people who interviewed get hired? Yes. One of them gets hired?
Yes.
Okay. Because, like I said, I have very cursory understanding of what's coming.
I know.
Okay.
But I think that the new character that they bring in... You will enjoy.
Season 7's been the best so far.
Oh, hands down.
I think it's this season of television. And, like, it's a culmination of things because it's... You have to know and understand and, like, grow with these characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have to go through all that to get to the point where they could be like this.
Yeah.
Obviously. I wish they took shorter time getting there because I think it could have been expedited a lot quicker. Because season 6 really was starting to test me. Like, there were days when I was waking up to do the podcast, like, and I'm like, I gotta watch 4 fucking episodes today, and I really don't want to take notes.
You're gonna be in a bad mood.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't want to take these notes. Like, I'm just gonna be mad. But, like, season 7, I was, like, re-energized. Yeah. 100% doing this project, so.
Absolutely.
So, next week we start season 8.
Yes, we start with episode 1, The List. And episode 2, The Incentive.
I have been told that there is a season 8 episode early on called Garden Party. I don't know anything about it. I've been told that it is someone's favorite episode, and I'm going to be very excited to see this episode.
It's a good one.
Okay, so guys, that'll wrap up season 7. We're going to cover those first 2 episodes of season 8 next week. However, in the meantime, why don't you share the show around, tell people about us, you know, tell them, hey, you should listen to this show. Even if you don't like The Office, maybe you'll like the people.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Probably not. Especially, they'll probably think I'm really a misogynist. But just like share the show around. We would greatly appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter at BroSisPodcast. We'll follow you back. You can send us longer form feedback at BrothersisterRewatch@gmail.com. We'll be happy to get in touch with you.
Yeah.
Read your shit on the air, whatever. You can find us on any podcasting app out there. Whatever you're listening to us on right now, subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. And, you know, you can find us on the Ginny Position podcast feed each and every Monday morning. So subscribe to that as well. And you can listen to us as well as some other great content that Ginny Smith is pushing out over there.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for sharing this journey with us for yet another season, guys.
Moving on
to the next. We only have 2 seasons to go.
Catch you all on down the road.
Thanks, guys.